She was like, I've been told my entire career that raw food would kill your pets, and I'm looking at your pets, and they're probably some of the healthiest ones that come into our doors.
Some of the literal best people I've ever met in my life are vets that recommend raw food, created the raw food
Yeah.
diet, so I'm like,
Yeah. It's not my place to judge other people for what they are or aren't feeding. I'm just here to share what works for me and what has had a positive impact on my pets.
Our favorite saying from Brené Brown is, we're not here to be right, we're here to get it right. We're not afraid anymore to be like, hey, we got that wrong, or hey, there's new research out.
Let's have a discussion and let's learn why we both have differing opinions.
It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy decision to make to say, you know what, I'm not feeding kibble anymore. It's so convenient, and we've been taught our entire lives that that's what they eat. I don't want to sound cheesy, but it almost feels like it gives me more purpose.
Welcome to the BK Petcast. I'm Bryce. My wife Kinsey and I created this podcast to help you enrich and extend the lives of your dogs and cats. And today we're joined by content creator Taylor Cockrell. Taylor is the super stereotypical mid-20s dog mom that you would either find incredibly annoying or totally understand. She has two rescue pets, a dog named Holly and a cat named Milkshake. They're both seniors at 12 and 9, and she found her passion in life by caring for them. Around 6 years ago, she started changing what she was feeding them, and it was obvious to everyone how much of a positive impact those changes actually made. Now, her two girls are healthier as seniors than they ever were when they were younger, and they share everything that they've learned on social media to hopefully help others who may be running into the same issue that she did over the years. They're on all the big platforms under @hoogie_bear_, but they focus mainly on TikTok and Instagram. Welcome to the podcast, Taylor Cockrell. One of the main problems you face as a pet parent is the daunting challenge of finding high-quality dog food that's both nutritious and attainable. Many of us lead really busy lives, and as much as we want to do right by our pets, the time and knowledge that it takes to create homemade meals is not readily available. Sunday's Food for Dog addresses this issue by offering an air-dried food which is healthy and easy to serve, saving you valuable time without compromising the health of your dog. The air-drying method helps to preserve nutrients and flavors, providing your dog with a meal that is healthier than traditional dry food, but easier than homemade or frozen food. This innovative approach to dog food preparation means the nutrients in Sunday's food are locked in, making it a tastier and healthier option for dogs. Sunday's Food for Dogs is committed to solving common problems pet parents face by providing a convenient, high-quality, and appetizing food option for dogs. By choosing their dog food, you can ensure your furry friend's meals are balanced, packed with vital nutrients, easy to serve, and likely to be enjoyed by even the pickiest of eaters. Use code THEBKPETS for 35% off and enjoy the episode. So, Taylor, first of all, thank you so much for being on. We don't get to talk to pet content creators very often, so we're very excited about this episode and to kind of dive into some of the topics outside of the educational stuff. So we really appreciate you joining us today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on. I don't get to do podcasts very often, so this is exciting for us too.
Oh, I love it. That's great. So before we actually get started, can you just kind of give our audience a brief introduction into who you are and how you got into what you're currently doing?
Oh man, that's one of those questions that's like, how do you answer that, you know? So my name is Taylor, I'm 26, and I live right outside of Houston. And I started social media just as like a fun, I was kind of flooding my personal social media with my dog and figured, why not make a dog page? Tons of people do it. So it wasn't ever supposed to be anything this big or crazy, but it just kind of happens, I guess, over time, because we've been doing this for 6 years now or so. So I guess it just kind of comes with the territory. But it went from me just sharing pictures of my cute pets to talking all about education and nutrition and things that made positive impacts on my pet's life. So that's kind of where we are right now.
I love it. And so when did you start sharing about the actual food that you're feeding your pets?
It's funny. I got a memory on Facebook, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days ago. And it was me at my first apartment that I had moved into with a bowl of dog food that had like stew meat on top of it. And I posted it on my personal social media and tagged it dog food. So I started posting about like little things like that probably about 5 years ago. So about a year into having social media in general, but I started posting it on TikTok probably 3 or 4 3.5 years ago, I'd say, and that's when things started to kind of pick up. TikTok was definitely the platform that it started like getting to go somewhere, you know?
Right. Well, it seems like you really started early in the process. I was listening to Brittany Broski. I don't know if you know her. She was doing a podcast the other day, and she started creating content kind of in that 2019, 2020 era. And that was like way before we really even started creating content. It was like late 2020, I guess.
Like November and December of
Yeah, but
2020.
you were like kind of one of those early creators. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and I started just like I had a personal TikTok that was just like, my personal name, and I would post a lot of, trends. I don't remember if you know the one that's like I put it in a bun and they would like tie the
Yeah.
ears together. I did
Yes.
that one, and that like, for somebody who has no followers, getting 10,000 views on TikTok was crazy. And then I did the one where it's like, drawing a dog with a cute little song in the background, and that one got like 100,000 views. So I was like, maybe
Damn.
I should just start doing dog stuff. No one cares about me. I'm just gonna do
Yeah.
dog stuff. So I just switched everything over.
I put it in a bun with Harper too, and it
Did we
got
ever
like,
post it?
oh, on my, like
Yeah.
that was like before you were even on TikTok, and it did not get like any views at all. So
Yeah.
that's weird that we were doing the same things in those eras.
Yeah. Well, and it's really interesting about TikTok too, because you have the Rodney Habibs of the world that went viral on Facebook, 5, 10 years ago, or the people that go viral on YouTube, but that always seemed so few and far between. Whereas TikTok, it seems like you can literally get on there, and if you make anything interesting, you have a chance to go viral regardless of the followers you have.
Oh yeah, it's TikTok is such a crazy platform because I have a lot of people that are like, how'd you do it? Like I knew you in high school and you were, I had my little high school girl Instagram page just trying to be the cutest thing in school, which thinking back on that is totally not appropriate to do in high school now. So like I've always cared about social media to an extent, but then it made that break between caring about it for me and caring about it for pets, and that was what really changed. But TikTok is the weirdest platform because it's the only one that like I'll have a video come up that has like a million likes, which means the video has like millions and millions of views, and I'll go to their page and they have like 600 followers, and I like
Yeah. It's
okay.
so
So
crazy. It can literally be like
interesting.
life-changing. I mean,
Oh
you know
yeah.
this.
Oh, I mean, and like I don't know if you watch Keith Lee, but like the whole thing with Keith Lee going on right now, I've been like very much so following all of that drama. It's interesting how much one TikTok
Monster.
video can completely change people's lives.
Wait, is there Keith Lee drama? Last we knew, he was just eating at restaurants in Vegas.
It's not drama with Keith Lee in terms of him as a person. He is in Atlanta or was in Atlanta, and Keith Lee's videos are not like when he has a negative experience, it's not negative in that sense. He's very careful with his wording and he understands the power behind his platform. So he's very careful and very respectful. But that also translates to people like, I'll never eat at that restaurant. Like they might as well close because I won't go there.
Yeah.
So Atlanta is not the best as far as I've heard when it comes to customer service and restaurants. And he experienced that firsthand. And so it's caused some turmoil and like people are being really mean to him about it, which is just totally not
Yeah, what?
okay and
His
not
whole
right.
shtick is providing an honest opinion.
And it's
He
an
literally waits in his
opinion.
car. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's so particular about like his wording. He's very much so like, it's very good to me.
Yes. Yeah,
Like it's
absolutely.
I want to take lessons from him on how to like watch what you say because he's very good at it.
Well, that's honestly a topic we've been exploring a lot, is like really being careful with our language. Because, I mean, you know this. We live in a world where we're offering nutrition advice and stuff, and you do not want to shame anyone for what
No.
they feed. So, honestly, like, we've kind of gotten to the point where we're not even going to say brands that we don't recommend very much anymore and just focus on the ones that we do. Because we don't want to put anyone down, you know?
I'm the same way. That was something that I think really set pages like ours apart from others is a lot of people, because the videos go really viral when you talk about things that you wouldn't buy at
Yeah.
certain places or things you wouldn't feed from certain brands. And I did a couple videos like that, and the videos did really well. And then I realized that that tone and that feeling is not what I wanted to portray because at the end of the day, for me personally, so long as your pet is loved and has a full be belly, that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
And it's not my place to judge other people for what they are or aren't feeding. I'm just here to share what works for me and what has had a positive impact on my pets. And if that's something that you think could work for you, that's great. But I'm not gonna sit there and, down talk a bunch of things. And it's a pretty obvious, if you scroll through my page, what my opinions and feelings would be on certain things. So I don't have to just explicitly say that, you know, it's kind of self-integrated in.
Absolutely. I love that.
So other than like going viral and getting brand deals, like all the obvious things of your platform growing, was there anything else unexpected or any like, anything you just were kind of like, whoa, I did not expect that to happen, or just...
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, I think just, you know, I know you said not brand deals and not going viral. Going viral, getting brand deals, having the ability to get paid off of doing something that I love was completely unexpected. I never thought that I would be someone to make... You know, you remember in like 2016, you'd watch these like PR unboxings. A lot of makeup YouTubers had like, it seemed like millions of packages. And it was just like, how do you get all this free stuff? Never thought that I'd be somebody that could do an unboxing video with stuff that like, you know, there's hundreds of dollars of products here that like, I can't believe it. So that was crazy. But aside from just like the financial side and like going viral and being popular, I didn't expect any of that. But I also didn't expect the friendship and the community that also comes with that. I feel like you see a lot of social media creators that say they're lonely because they're just online. You know, they don't have a lot of like in-person connections. For me, it was kind of the opposite. I don't have a lot of friends like in person and, you know, in real life, which sounds sad. It's not sad, I promise.
We have very few.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not that, like, I wouldn't say I'm introverted by any means, but I'm just not very social. It takes me a long time to just kind of care to be around other people. There's like very few people that fit that niche for me. But online, it's like this bubble of people that you kind of integrate yourself with. And I have these connections with people like you guys that I would have never met before. And we would get along so well and it works so well. And I have this entire community of people that I can lean on and that I trust. And I didn't expect that. I thought that it would just be like, yeah, I have a few people that we follow each other, but like, I don't really know anything about them. But that's not it at all. I've got tons of people that I would genuinely consider friends, and I didn't expect that to come from being on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, you know, some of the people that we're closest with right now, we met again through our community. Our manager, we met through our community. Our social media manager, like all these different people that are very important to us, all came from this online thing. So kind of on the business side of it, was there one point where you really were like, oh, like, this could be an actual business beyond just me posting about my dogs?
There was two instances where I was like, I could make enough money on this that I would never quit my day job because it's a family business. So I'll always have that. But if I wasn't working with like family and I didn't feel like I was needed there, if I was just working a regular job, I would have definitely started pursuing this more full time. The first one was when I reached out to a brand. And I'm sure tons of people who are social media creators can attest to this. When you want something and you reach out and you're kind of nervous and you're like, hey, like, I'll do a video if you wouldn't mind sending the thing over to me and like maybe we can do something together. And I did that for a product. And the brand was like, hey, actually, if you go onto this platform that we work on, we'll pay you to do a video for it. And I was like, you'll pay me? The item is expensive as itself. Like, it's like a $300 item. And I just wanted the item. Like, you don't have to pay me. And they ended up paying me $300. So they paid me $300 and I got the $300 item. And they only wanted, like, this was before TikTok too. So they wanted an Instagram post. And I was like, oh, I'm all in. Like, everything is fine. I got a professional camera. I set up a scene. I did all the things. And I was so excited about it because I didn't think I'd ever get paid for doing anything like that. And it dawned on me that if this random company that I reached out to would just like, yeah, just sign up here and we'll just pay you for it. Like, you deserve to get compensated for your time, that other brands are paying people for the content they're putting out. I didn't realize that. And then the first time I got a decent commission check for like sales through a brand, I was like, I understand now. This is why people push those links so much. And now I hate doing that. I really hate like, oh, shop my link, because I feel like I'm just pushing sales on people. Because again, they're all there. I don't have to say it. People know. But those two instances, the first time getting paid and then making a pretty decent amount on a commission check, was like, I understand why people are quitting their jobs, because that was a complete disconnect for me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, how long does it take you to complete a video from like concept to filming to posting?
It really depends on the video. I would say on average for my usual like buildable style videos or like my reviews where I just am talking kind of about one product, those videos probably take me about 15 to 20 minutes to film, depending, because you also have to consider like I'm feeding my pets this, so I don't want to take forever. They're going to get annoyed. And then about 40 minutes to edit, so not that long, but on some of the longer videos, like when I turned Pennywise into dog food, that took me a minute.
I
So
bet.
nothing
I'm
artistic.
sure.
So that one took me a minute. And then editing it, I wanted to make sure that it was edited a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. And I did like two separate videos. So that one took me a couple of hours collectively, but I'd say an hour and a half, depending on the video.
Do you have anyone helping you with this, or is it literally just you?
It's just me. It's just me.
Damn.
I mean, you can count the dog and the cat because, you know,
They're
they're
paid
what got me
actors.
here. But yeah, they get paid in biscuits. But
Yeah.
you know, other than that, my boyfriend is really kind of against social media. He doesn't like the idea of it at all. So I try not to, even though I know he would help me and he wouldn't mind being in the videos, asking that is kind of just like, I know you don't like broccoli, but I made broccoli for dinner, you know? So
Sure.
I don't ask.
Yeah, and he
Which is
runs the
mean.
other business, doesn't he?
Yeah, so he's really busy running Lycan, so it's just kind of a, and we're both full-time students, so
Oh,
it's a busy
wow.
house.
Yeah, that's crazy. So then, talk to me about your actual content setup. Are you just filming in random spots of your house, or do you have any like dedicated space for it?
And what tools do you use?
I have a spot on my counter in my kitchen that I like because I have these two big floor-to-ceiling corner windows, which like that's all of the light coming in from right here. So as long as it's not an ugly day, that's a lot of light. So there's just one spot on my counter that I typically film in that Lance would say is in the way and annoying. And then if it's something where it's like, you know, like I want to talk about a random product or I want to take photos or things like that, I typically go out on my patio until it's like 30 degrees and I have to bring all my plants inside because then there's nothing on the patio to take pictures in front of and it's kind of boring out there. So
Yeah.
patio and my kitchen, and I have a stand. It was like $60 on Amazon. It's nothing fancy that holds my iPhone and I just film overhead. And that's basically it. And sometimes I'll bring out a tripod and I have like a camera, a Sony something. It's not even mine, it's Lance's, but that's the one that I pull out if I'm getting paid to take photos. I'll use a professional camera and like actually go through and edit them and make them really pretty and aesthetically pleasing, but most of the time it's just my iPhone and a camera stand in my kitchen.
Yeah, sure. That's exactly how we were. So we lived with her mom up until about December of last year, and it was the same way. We kind of just had like a section of the counter that we would film, and I always thought like, okay, as soon as we have a space that's like not our kitchen, everything will be solved. Now we have this space that we're in, and
Right.
this is the table that I film like podcasts and overhead stuff, and I'm so irritated because I now want dedicated space for everything that we do that never changes. You know, I want this to always be the podcast. I want a separate overhead rig. So it's
Yep.
like I realized that no matter what I do, I'm always gonna want to upgrade that. So I'm really trying to be okay with what I have now.
That's my biggest thing is like I keep wondering. I tried this whole thing. I went through this phase where I was like, if I could use, you know, a better camera and if I had better lighting and I had a more like it's not obviously just my kitchen counter, like a more aesthetically pleasing background, then like that would take my content to the next level. So I bought like a ring light and a better stand and I tried using my camera and I just like I hated it. I hated all of
Yeah.
it. You could see the ring light in the reflection on the counter and I just like no, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to use my iPhone. And like a year ago, I decided to upgrade and get like a whatever the newest one at the time. I think it's like a 13 something. And at the time, it was the newest iPhone. Now it feels like 2 months has passed and they're like
Yeah.
six phones ahead.
Yeah.
So I'm cheap when it comes to stuff for myself. So I was like, I will never buy another iPhone again until this one literally dies. So that's as good as my content's going to get filming wise because a lens for the Sony that I have would cost like $1,000, which is
Yeah, it's like more than
crazy.
the camera usually.
I would literally rather just buy a new camera. I'm not doing that. So that's not an option. I can't film because it's the lens I have is like a 50 millimeter. So it's you have to get really far away,
Yeah,
which is
sure.
super annoying. So I can't use that. And I'm not buying another phone, no matter how like better the camera is. I won't do it. And I don't want to get extra lighting because I didn't realize that the reflection you can see it. So if I see a ring light reflection, it's gonna drive me crazy. So I'm just keeping it the same because it hasn't broken yet.
Talk to me about your phone storage, because as a fellow content creator, I know how fast those phones fill up. Do you run into that?
Oh yeah. So I had this massive problem like 6 months ago, I want to say, where like I had no storage. And like every time I went to post a video or film a video, it would say that I didn't have any storage. So I'd be halfway through filming a video and it would say like no more storage. You can't film anything else. And I would like, what? I can't move my camera, because if I move my camera, I'll never get it back in the exact same place and it'll shift a little. And that drives me crazy. So I was like, I can't, what do I do now? So I was filming on an older iPhone because it had more storage, which then the camera quality was worse. Mm-hmm. It was a whole thing. And I realized CapCut was taking up so much storage on my phone. Like 90% of the storage was through CapCut. But I was like, I don't have an account. I don't save anything to the cloud. I delete the videos when I'm done editing them. Like if I edit it and I post it, I delete it. I don't save them because I just like all of my TikTok videos and Instagram videos get pulled to Drive. So I have the video somewhere else. I don't need it in CapCut. And it was taking up so much storage. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And I was going through everybody's like hacks on how to like get more storage and like how to clear things out. And it was not working. So I deleted the app and reinstalled it. And it took up like 10%. Of the amount of space that it was taking up. So if you're struggling with that and you're like, man, CapCut's taking up a lot of storage, delete the app and just reinstall it, because that's what helped me and I haven't had any problems since. But I do have like a lot of photos and a lot of videos. So I did make sure to get an iPhone that has more storage, because that it's a lot. And yeah. I'm not very good about deleting things off of my camera roll. So it's just a landmine of nonsense.
Yep, that's us too. And
we literally have 4 phones.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And we film content on all of them, honestly.
Yeah, only 2 have cellular though, but the other 2 are strictly just for like filming and storage, and they're all the max storage you can have.
Oh yeah, they have to be. Like literally our social media manager, when he came on, I was like, hey, you know, we're gonna buy a work phone here in a couple weeks, like just do the best that you can right now. And he texts us like a week later and he was like, hey, what's the update on that? My phone's full. And I was like, okay, it's time.
Yeah. I had that problem. I'm editing videos for a brand right now just because they needed someone to like hop on and help edit. And we were doing the shared album thing on iPhone because like we were originally using like Google Photos and it was just not working out. I just don't like the app. So I suggested we do a shared album. And she was like, I can't do that anymore because I have no story left on my phone. The shared album is not going to work. And I was like, all right, let's just take it to Google Drive then, because at least then like there's like a terabyte worth of space, and that's a lot of content if you're using a terabyte worth of space.
Absolutely.
So it's iPhone storage is certainly a problem, but I just choose to ignore it until it's actually a problem and I can't record any more videos.
I love it. Well, and like back to the conversation of kind of the iPhone versus the high quality camera, we have heard from a lot of other people and a lot of other creators that there's a sneaking suspicion that using a fancier camera makes your video perform worse. And my theory is we like to see videos similar to how we see the world. Like we take videos on our own phones, we see them all the time, we scroll social media. I think there's a level of like people just don't want to feel like the content they're consuming, at least on short form, is like super produced, super, you know, like so much goes into it. They just want to feel like they're in the kitchen with us. You know what I mean? And so like the videos that do best for us are usually the ones where we're in the kitchen actually making something and not here in the content area.
I believe it, because I even have people message me and they're like, hey, what's your camera setup? And like, what do you use? Because your videos are really clear. And I have to like, my iPhone and just this. That's all I got. I wish I had more for you. I don't. It's nothing fancy schmancy. And like you said, I don't think, because like I find myself feeling like, I don't want to say irritated, but like out of tune when I see people that post really, really professional level things. Because like it's great to watch, but I can't connect with you as a person. Yeah. Because like I'll never have a $7,000 camera to film dog food videos on.
Yeah.
But some people do. I'm just kidding. Not that person.
No. Nope.
I'm not going to spend that much money. I'm
you and us both. Yeah, we're just going to buy a dozen iPhones.
Exactly. I'll just have a drawer of iPhones.
Yeah.
Really cool, coordinated, and then I'll just mess up the system anyway.
Yeah.
So, what are some of your favorite pet wellness hacks, brands, just some of your favorite things that you're seeing, experiencing, sharing right now?
My favorite thing, and this is so funny. So there's another page that was getting torn apart by people who follow me, which I hate and do not condone. But she was very similar to my content. She had the same bowl, using the same products, had a similar setup. Our voices are even kind of similar. And at the time when I found her, she was really small, like a couple thousand followers, and everyone was tagging me in all of her videos. And I was like, what the heck is this? Like, I don't what why am I getting tagged so much? Usually that's a bad sign if you're getting tagged a whole lot. So I was like, oh no, like what happened? Something's wrong. I said something stupid. Something happened. And I just realized her content was just her feeding her cat. And she's using a lot of the same products. It's a lot of the same, like the editing is very similar. Her covers are very similar, like the little cute covers I do on my videos. They're very similar. And everybody was being really mean. And I was like, well, hold on. Why are we being mean? She's just posting videos of her feeding her cat. And they were like, well, she's not giving you credit. And I was like, no one has to give me credit. I didn't invent feeding cats, okay? I just film it. And like, I don't do anything particularly unique or special. I just do whatever I'm doing. And then if somebody wants to copy that, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me at all. And the favorite thing I've seen since that incident happened is people literally copying my videos, like item for item and like word for word. Because aside from the fact that they're not doing it to gain popularity on social media, right? Like they're doing it because they're excited about what they're feeding their pets and they want to share it. So they'll duet my videos or tag me in their videos of them doing exactly what I was doing. And it brings me so much joy to watch people do it and be so excited about improving their pet's health. Or I'll get tagged and it's, somebody making very minimal changes. Like I'll watch them like take a small handful of kibble out and like put stew meat or chicken or something in there just to change it a little bit, and they're like, oh, Hoogie Bear taught me to do this, and it warms my heart to see that kind of stuff because it was so distasteful for me when I saw people like, you need to give Hoogie Bear credit for, copying her videos. You're doing the same thing. And I was like, I hope everyone copies my videos, and I hope everyone posts it, and I hope everyone does exactly this because that just means they care about what they're feeding their pets.
That's a great outlook. And I think we, as content creators who create some videos that eventually go viral, you kind of have to accept that there's going to be a level of copying because,
There's no original ideas in
right.
marketing.
And like
No.
we've done the exact same thing. You see a video go viral and you're like, oh my gosh, that video is incredible. I feel like we could kind of do something similar, but tweak it more for our specific style. And
Yeah.
that's what content creation is, you know?
Oh yeah, it drove me crazy when people were being mean, and I had to message her, and her and I are great friends now. And I had to like, I'm so sorry that people are being mean. I did my best to like shut that down as soon as I noticed that it was happening. Keep posting your videos. I don't think you're copying me at all. Keep doing what you're doing. And if you are like pulling influence from me and you want to just keep, I don't care. Keep doing what you're doing. It doesn't bother me at all. As long as it's in good faith and you're not doing it to be, crappy, it doesn't bother me at all. But that's my favorite thing to see on social media is people with smaller accounts who are very obviously not doing it to gain popularity and try to go viral on TikTok. They're just doing it because they're excited about the changes they're
They're
making.
proud of it, yeah.
It makes my heart so warm and I love it. It's my favorite thing to see. And like even when larger TikTokers, I'll see them like they'll do like a day in the life video and they'll feed their cat and like a couple months back you'll see them like dump kibble into the bowl as like part of the video and you're kind of like, okay, roll right past it. Not my place. Not gonna talk about it. But then they'll follow me and they'll be like some crazy, really viral millions of followers page. And I'll like, oh. And then I forget that it's not me. They're following me because I feed my cat cool stuff. And then like they'll post another one and it'll be like, day in my life. And then when they feed their cats, they're using like wet food and they'll put like a green-lipped mussel in there or they'll put like fish oil. And I'll like,
It's
it's
awesome.
working.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
so
so
excited.
cool. On the topic of kind of different products and stuff, I think we are very aligned in the fact that we're not really trying to like push this agenda on people, but we definitely have our beliefs and we share them about what we think animals should be eating and that all that stuff. We call that our food philosophy. So Taylor, what is your food philosophy?
Oh man, you got 2 hours
I
left.
know, right?
It's honestly, to keep it very simple and short, it's trying to feed a minimally processed diet. The same way that when you're looking at, like, I want to be healthy, not necessarily as a human to lose weight or to be hot. I just want to eat healthy to feel good. It's the same thing for your pets. You know, I'm not going to eat a bowl of cereal for every meal if I want to feel good. It's the same thing for them. So, as much fresh food as you can integrate into their diet. And by fresh food, I'm not talking about going and buying fresh pet or farmer's dog or, you know, anything like that. You can add fresh food to your pet's diet really without upsetting the cost of your grocery bill by very much. Just setting aside a little bit of meat, cooked or uncooked, as long as it's unseasoned, and adding that into their bowl, or some extra veggies that you steamed that were, you know, before you season them, pulling them out, or just table scraps, things like that that, you know, you're probably not eating 100% of the food that you bring in. So sharing that with your pets or adding a raw egg to their food once a week, that kind of thing makes a massive difference. And my biggest philosophy is that there's always room for improvement, no matter what your budget is, unless you're like, I'm feeding a 100% whole prey raw diet. I don't need any help. Most people can, there's always room for improvement. There's room for improvement with me and with you, even people who do this for a living and are really keen on their pet's nutrition. There's always room for improvement, and it works with any budget. And that sounds like I'm being, you know, oh, it doesn't matter. Everyone has money to spend. But if you have no money to spend, even water from your tap in their kibble will make a difference.
Right. And I love that about your page. That's exactly what we try to do, is really just offer those manageable tips for people. And like, I'm sitting here with a bag full of sardines from Trader Joe's. These are $1.49 a can. So
Yes.
like, we're
And
not,
there's three in there.
and there's three in there. Like, we give one to each of our dogs. So per meal, it's 50 cents a dog that you're adding to the bowl. You know what I
Oh
mean?
yeah.
And
And you've got the juice in there too that you can
yes.
add on. It's there's so much you can do, and like I just the more that you can get processed foods out of their diet, the better off, in my opinion, that they will be. And I've seen the biggest improvement from my pets in their health over the last 5 years just by implementing that. Like it took me a long time, and with the help of earning money from social media and having relationships with brands, to not feed kibble. It's not an
Yeah.
easy thing to do. It's not an easy decision to make to say, you know what, I'm not feeding kibble anymore. It's so convenient, and we've been taught our entire lives that that's what they eat. It's labeled dog food, it's labeled cat food, hamster food, insert any animal food. So that's what they eat, when in reality, it's just the most convenient version of what they can eat to stay alive. So if you can change that at all, it will make a massive impact, even if it's just 5 to 10% a couple times a week.
Okay, so how has engaging with the community of pet lovers, just basically like impacted your life and your approach to pet wellness? I know you said it means a lot to you, but can you say more?
This sounds so cheesy, but it literally changed my life for the better. I didn't have like this great purpose. And like for people who aren't on social media, they don't realize when I say that, I'm not saying that because social media is something special, right? It's if social media ended tomorrow and I could never post again, it wouldn't affect me in a negative manner because social media goes away. It affects me negatively if it goes away because I lose the connection that I have with people that I'll never find again. You know, I would even consider myself in terms of like a small successful creator. I have 500,000 followers on TikTok, and those are 500,000 people that care in some way or another about something that I'm talking about. And I won't ever be able to reach that same group of people again. You know, when someone gets banned on social media or they delete it and they come back, the group of people they now have is different than the one they had before. It changes every time. So to be able to have an entire community of people that has that same love for animals that I do is something I've craved my entire life. Like, I've wanted to be working with animals my whole life. I volunteered at vets' offices and shelters as a kid. I got on like Rover the second I could to watch other pets. And I always just wanted to be around animals in some way. And as you get older, you realize that unfortunately, there's just not a lot of money in the animal industry across the board. Like, no matter what you want to pick, there's just not a lot. So it's hard to be financially successful in a field that has to do with animals. So you end up kind of moving away from that as you age. But to be able to circle back without even realizing that I was going to be able to do it, to have meaning in that is, it's so fulfilling. And like, opening a blog and writing about it and having a social media platform and being able to talk to people that feel the same way I do is just, I don't want to sound cheesy, but it almost feels like it gives me more purpose.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that. And I think, you know, for me at least, one of the craziest things about us and our audience I have felt is like growing together, because yes. I think we are very similar in that we offer a lot of nutritional advice, but I wouldn't call any of us experts. Like, we are very much just informed pet parents learning as we go. But that is what I think is so special, is we have this community of people where we're like, hey, we found out some more information. We're trying this. A couple weeks later, yeah. Hey, we've been trying this. Here's how it's going. And then other people say, hey, I started trying that and now it's working. And it's just like that compounds over, you know, months and months and years to where you have this community that you have just grown so much with, and they've seen you change. You know, we have people that come up to us and they're like, we followed you back when you guys made resin pet tags and you were still feeding Purina Pro Plan. And we're like, that's incredible. You know? No. Yeah, it's like
first of all, we're sorry.
Yeah, but it's like I'm so thankful to kind of be in a position where we're not just like preaching to people all the time. We're truly just growing together and learning together.
Our favorite saying from Brené Brown is, we're not here to be right, we're here to get it right. And I think that that has just made such a deeper relationship with our community, because like, we're not afraid anymore to be like, hey, we got that wrong, or hey, there's new research out and what we thought was right isn't. Like, we're not afraid to do that anymore, and it means so much every time we do that or we stand up for something and people are like, thank you so much for being true, like true, being real, like not having, I mean, we by no means have completely dissolved egos at all, but like, thanks for not having an ego about this. And like, we're not afraid to have kind conversations with people who have differing opinions from us. So,
because like, I mean, you even know this, there's many vets on social media that do not agree with our feeding philosophy and stuff. And to begin with, that was really triggering for me, because I really think I was holding on to the idea of being an expert. But now I'm like, hey, you got your opinions. Your opinions are shaped by the unique experiences you've had in this world. Let's have a discussion and let's learn why we both have differing opinions. And that way we can share both sides of the story to an audience that can then make their own informed decisions.
Because truly, 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 to our core, if tomorrow a study came out and it said, no, for real, kibble is it.
Like a third-party meta-analysis study.
It is the end-all, be-all. It is the absolute healthiest, best way to feed your dog. No questions asked. We would be like, okay, we're going to pivot.
Yeah, it's like,
this is what the science says.
Like, what we always say is, you can't have a viewpoint where no amount of information could change that. Because then I think it's not a viewpoint. That's an ideology. That's a faith. Yeah. That's a belief. It's no longer, you know, it's no longer in search of the truth, I think, is where it really comes down to.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that you stay flexible and open and honest, because I think that's what sets pages like ours and like the little bubble that our little group is, right? Because like, there's a little bubble of social media creators in the pet food space and pet care space that I think all fit into the same bubble. And the thing that sets all of us apart is our willingness to like, oh, I was totally wrong. Yeah. And I'm like, that's on me. I was totally wrong. Here's what I said. Here's what changed. Here's the information I was provided that showed me I was wrong. And here's why I've changed my mind on this. Because there are so many things that, you know, for the longest time, I was really, really keen on fish oils and omega oils and like things like that. And thinking like, this is a number one thing that everyone should have in their pet's food. And it is a great thing you can add to your pet's food. And it came a little later that I was like, or you could just add things that are already really high in omegas in their natural form, like green-lipped mussels and sardines and things like that, that now I try to use less oil because I have the ability to add in those really fatty, like, additions to their food without having to use an oil. And people will comment and say, why don't you use fish oils as much anymore? And I have to, like, I learned that I have the ability to do something a little bit better. That doesn't mean fish oils are bad. They're not. I would love to see everybody add a fish oil to their dog and cat's food. But same thing with, for the longest time, I was using coenzyme from Dr. Harvey's for heart health. And I still have it. I still use it. But I realized I was doubling up because I was feeding chicken hearts or some kind of hearts and coenzyme. And I didn't need to be doing both. It's not harmful, really, with the amount that I was giving. But that was something that I was doing that wasn't right. I didn't need to be giving both. They're both good for their heart. So I just try to stick to hearts as much as I can. And if I'm lazy, I just pop a coenzyme in there and like, all right, cool. Got it.
But it's not something where you were wrong. It's not something like where you were wrong and now you're right. It's something where you were sharing information based off of what you had at the time, and now you're sharing updated information. Like, for example, I have a video that we did in – we were still living in Laramie, so this had to have been early 2022, I think. And it was a video about Banks. He was really, really skinny when we first got him, and it was just hard to put weight on him. And so I did a video of like, hey, I have this dog. It's been kind of hard to put weight on. Here's the things I'm adding to his food. And the base was really good. It was like a raw blend from a local company that we bought. And then we topped it with like some of the Honest Kitchen dehydrated to get some of the veggies in there and stuff. And then I added an obscene amount of yogurt and peanut butter and oats and cashews. And I'm like, what was I doing back then? But again, back then, we're just informed pet parents. We're doing the best with the information we have. And so I think, like you said, as long as we have that willingness to be open about what we once knew and what we know now, that will always hold that trust with our audience, because they see us as people who will update them whenever we're wrong, not people who gatekeep stuff and are ashamed when they're wrong, so we're gonna hide about it.
Well, that's why our content has shifted so much from you should do this, you should do that. It's like we're to the point where we're just like, this is what we do.
Yeah,
like
this is what works for us.
Exactly what you said. Like, if you are curious, if you want to try this, if you have a similar situation, like, it's never going to be one size fits all. We have dogs from literally the same mom and dad, just different litters, and they could not be more different in their preferences and allergies. Oh, and so it's nice. It feels a lot less, like, so much less pressure not being do this, try that. It's just like, hey.
And it's kind of the concept that, like, no matter what, you know, personally, I feel that a raw, grass-fed, pasture-raised diet is the most biologically appropriate, but that doesn't work for every dog, no matter how amazing it is. So we just have to have that willingness to be open-minded. And I even tell people, I think the number one trait to look for when finding a veterinarian is somebody who's open-minded. Because if they're open-minded, they're willing to look at all the information, they're willing to challenge their own things and the things that they were taught. And I think that's so important.
Oh yeah, there's two major key points. The first one is just being careful with your verbiage and understanding that what works for you doesn't necessarily work for everybody. And the point of pages like ours is to show what works for us. And if that happens to work for them, that's great. But I'm not telling you this is what you should or shouldn't do, right? Like, this is just what happened for me. And then you said that you're doing the best you can with the information you have in this moment. That's the key. And that's what everyone needs to understand. Is that if right now the information that you were provided is that, you know, X, Y, and Z is what's going to work best, then do that. Do what you're capable of doing with the budget and the information you have right now. Because what's important is that you care to learn. Your brain is constantly like, I need more information on this topic. And if you're willing to learn, you're willing to adapt. And that's the biggest thing, because when it comes to finding vets and like having that like disconnect between vets and nutrition, I've had two really different experiences. And I've changed vets like six times over the last, you know, 7-8 years. So the first vet tells me my pets are both, because when I go to a new vet, I just take them both, just get it all done in a day and take them both in. He says, oh my God, your pets are amazing. They're very healthy. What do you feed them? Tell them I feed, at the time, half raw, half kibble. Completely changes his demeanor. Very upset with me. He says, why would you do that? Just feed kibble. That's so unnecessary. You know, yada, yada, yada. So I didn't go back to that vet because we obviously have different opinions. Go to my current vet. I don't say anything about what I feed them. She doesn't ask. I say nothing. And then about 2 years in, she finally asks what I feed them because they're both so healthy at their age. And like Holly is 12 and acts like a 6-year-old dog. You know, she's super healthy. And I tell her at that time, I'm feeding 90% raw food. And she's like, huh. You feed them raw food. And so I showed her my videos, because at the time I was making content and I was like, you know, here's some examples. Feel free to follow us if you want to keep up to date on what they're eating so that you know as their vet. And she was like, I've been told my entire career that raw food would kill your pets. And I'm looking at your pets and they're probably some of the healthiest ones that come into our doors.
Wow. I just got goosebumps. That's amazing.
Oh yeah. I was like, I can't believe this, because she was very much so like, you could tell her instinct was to like, oh, don't do that. But she couldn't because she's been caring for my pets for like a year and a half at this point. So she knows how healthy they are. At this point, she's performed surgery on Holly when she had her abdominal tumor removed. So she knows how healthy they are, and she knows how healthy Milkshake is, and she knows how good their teeth are. And like, so she had to sit there for a moment and like, something is not clicking in my brain. Yeah, because my instinct told me this is wrong. Yeah. So now we've been at the same vet, and the whole point is that like, she's very open to whatever is obviously relevant in that moment. So, you know, I wouldn't say that she's going to sit there and tell every pet parent that you need to feed a raw diet, because I've seen it make a great, great impact on somebody else. But she'll definitely not argue with pet parents about whatever they're doing if it's working.
She's and at more least not shame them. Like, you can have your opinion. So, for example, one of the vets online that really doesn't agree with us is the Honest Vet. And they shared a post, or I don't remember if they shared a post or if it was a duet or something, but somebody commented and was like, oh, what do you think about raw food? And I'm sure you saw this on our Instagram story if you were on that day, but they were like, no good vet will recommend raw food. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's take a step back, because I don't think kibble is healthy for dogs. I don't think vets should be recommending kibble, but I don't think any vet that recommends kibble is a bad vet. It goes back to the thing we were just talking about. They're doing the best that they can with the information that they have, and they're taught in vet school that kibble is the best and raw food is not good. But just have your opinion. Say, oh, I don't think that raw food is best, but that's my personal opinion, because you can't deny there's millions of dogs on raw food that are absolutely thriving.
And I get a little, I guess, territorial, and I'm like, some of the literal best people I've ever met in my life are vets that recommend raw food, created the raw food diet. So I'm like,
I'm gonna get vicious. Yeah, because that's my thing, is like, I'll never shame anybody. And like, even aside from just like vets and nutrition, just like in any topic of conversation, like the business that we run as a family, we build exhibits for zoos and aquariums. And obviously that's kind of a niche space, right? like we built the 80-foot shark reef at the Houston Zoo in the Galapagos section that just opened. And there was probably five other contractors that we were like competing with at that time to get that contract. And the entire time I'm like on these Zoom meetings and like talking to them, and obviously these other contractors are here. And at the time we were a really young company, and their response was, oh, well, Lycan won't get it because they're so new and like they don't know what they're doing. And their response was just to attack us personally. And ironically, we are the ones that got the contract and we did a phenomenal
good for you.
But I just like, or we'll be somewhere fixing someone else's work and it'll be an insert to a tank, and it's not very good. But my instinct isn't to like, oh yeah, that company, they're garbage, just come to us. Everybody who would do work with them is garbage. Like, that, why would you do that? Right. I'm here to do whatever my job is, not to shame another company or another brand. So like, the fact that a vet would say no good vet would suggest raw diets, there's a lot of vets that would say the opposite, that no good vet would suggest kibble.
Exactly.
Or no good vet would suggest, you know, prescription diets. Or like, there's a lot of opinions. And again, at the end of the day, as long as your pet is fed and happy, that's all that matters, and loved. But you also have to like, there's no way you know that much about a pet's internal systems and you know that much about their genealogy, and then you're going to tell me that a bowl of Cocoa Puffs is the right thing to do. I just can't. That's the disconnect that I have when vets are so against raw feeding. It's like, okay, well, what about cooked food? And they're like, no, that's unnecessary, you don't need that. And I was like, it's not about need. You're telling me that a food, like real food, tangible food, I can tell you what it is by looking at it and smelling it, that's somehow not better than kibble? And they're like, no, kibble's the best. And I have to sit there and like, we have different.
Like, why are you the only health and wellness professional in the world to recommend a highly processed diet? If you go to a dietitian or even a general doctor, they're not going to tell you to drink Soylent for your entire life. They're not going to tell you to eat these little bars that have all the nutrients. They're going to say, shop the outskirts of stores, fresh fruits, vegetables, meats, all that different stuff, not the highly processed stuff. And I am so excited for the day that the vet community finally wakes up from that, because I think it's coming, truly.
It's like a brainwash almost that like whatever they're learning in school, and I was so tempted just to like, I'm going to vet school, like I'm done.
Same.
We're just gonna, I'm gonna do it just so I can like, what are they learning? How does this
Yep.
happen? Like, if I go, am I genuinely gonna change my mind? And like, I get it. I understand why they feel this way because I don't get how it happens that, like you said, it's the only profession in the world where their instinct is to like, they don't even consider ingredients most of the time.
No, it's
Like,
nutrient levels.
no, it just, and then like, Holly had loose stool like 5 years ago, and who knows why, you know, dogs just get loose stool for no reason. And I took her to the vet, and this was before the vet that I was like, I'm not going to you anymore, and before her current vet. Go to a regular vet, I tell her she has loose stool. They go to put her on a prescription diet, like immediately for 6 months. They want to put her on a prescription diet for 6 months. She's had loose stool for one day. I'm just like neurotic. Like, I have to go to a vet if anything is wrong. Like, I'm not messing with that. I'm just going to take you to the vet and make sure everything's okay. They wanted to put her on a prescription diet for 6 months. And this is well before I knew that much. Like, I was still learning, I was still kind of fresh. And the first ingredient was brown rice. And then it was something else. And then it was just chicken byproduct meal. And that was a prescription diet. And I was like, well, no wonder she's not going to have loose stool. There's nothing to poop out. There's nothing there. So I was like, no, I think I'm just going to, like, and at the time I was like, you know, I'm still in that mindset that like chicken and rice is what you feed when they're not feeling well. So I was like, I'm just going to get some chicken and rice. And, you know, if you have anything like a probiotic supplement or something that I can give her, or like an antibiotic, maybe she has like, I don't know, something wrong with her. Something wrong with her. And they were like, okay, I would really highly recommend it. And they handed me the thing in a bag of food. And when I went up to the counter, I was like, you can take this and put it in the garbage, and you can put this behind the desk because I'm not taking it home. And it was just such a weird experience because I'm sitting there thinking, like, how are you looking at the ingredients on these so expensive foods? They're so expensive. And like, the one animal ingredient is like not even identifiable, or it's like, you know, and not a good quality meat, and it's at like the third ingredient on the list. I don't
It's
get
like
it.
you said, it's something byproduct meal. It's like, where's chicken,
Yeah.
beef? Like, where's that at?
Any just like meat. Because again, like I'm even the type of person that's like, I understand why meals are there. I understand why byproducts are there. I get why those are necessary. And when they're used appropriately, they're great. I love it. But it can't be the only thing that's meat. That's like, you can't, like, yeah, chicken byproduct meal is our only form of animal protein. Because then it's like, what? What do you mean?
It makes no sense. So,
I hate
Taylor,
it.
before we wrap up here, I think our audience is going to be very interested in you and want more of your content. So, where can they find you? Social media, website, where can they connect?
So we just opened a blog, and I'm very proud of it. I love it. It's Milk and Holly. This was totally not a I didn't plan this, but I did end up wearing this. So half my closet at this point is just our merch because I had to test so many different things. But we have a blog called Milk and Holly, and that's my favorite resource now. There's not that many posts on it yet, just because it's very new. One is coming out today about eggs. So if you're interested in that,
Amazing.
definitely read it. It's called milkandholly.com. And then other than that, there's links to all of our social medias on that website. But you can find us under Hoogie Bear on basically all of them. But we're mostly on TikTok and Instagram because the other ones are kind of a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on today. We did not get through all of our questions, so we absolutely need to have you on again. But we really
Oh, I'd love
appreciate you just having the conversation, and it's always great to see you. So thank you, Taylor.
Well, thanks for having me. It was great to see you guys too.
Yeah, of course. And for those of you that are watching or listening, thank you so much for choosing to spend your day with us. As always, I'm Bryce,
I'm Kinsey.
and we'll see you in the next episode.